And we're now reviewing all the trot action from the weekend with HRV's Blake Redden. How was the weekend, Blake?
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, Nards. We had 11 races at Melton, mostly favourites or horses in the market, getting a result aside from one mini blowout. But apart from that, it was pretty much as punters saw it throughout.
Okay, well, let's talk about race one. And this was an event at Group 3 level, the first, and it was taken out by a Rock and Roll Magic for Emma Stewart.
Yeah, she was heavily backed, wasn't she? She opened $2.90 earlier in the week into $1.60. She led, and I'm not sure we've seen a slower sort of lead time first quarter for a Group 3 race ever, particularly at Melton. They went 48.9 through that lead time. She copped no pressure whatsoever. There was no contesting for the lead. She just rolled across Rock and Roll Magic, and she was able to do as she pleased. As I said, she ran through a very slow lead time and then a very slow first quarter, and at that point, if you'd copped anywhere near the $2.90, you would have been pretty thrilled with yourself. She was just able to roll through a second quarter of 30 seconds flat, and then it was those last two quarters, particularly the final fraction where she did her damage home in 26.5. They were never, ever going to catch her. Nikki Badwagon breezed early. She relented that position when Whirly Magic came around mid-race. She, you know, stuck on well enough, I guess, for second as best as she could in such a quick last quarter. Whirly School ran third, but look, it's hard to take much from the race. Platinum Power is probably a little bit disappointing from behind the leader, beaten 15 metres. I thought Gallifrey Mystique put in the second good run in a row for her in Victoria. She made ground out wide, which was, albeit off a soft run, nearly impossible to do. So, look, it's hard to know exactly how the form's going to stack up given the way the race was run. But Rock and Roll Magic, I guess, was the best filly or mare going into the race.
Okay, so the favourite takes out the first race at Group 3 level. We then have a look at race number two, and we had another odds on E, too good for them. Bell's Beach House most expected this to win too.
They did, again, another really heavily backed runner, and there was a bit of, I suppose, heart flutters at the start when another swinger had a real good crack drawn middle of the front row across Bell's Beach House and all but did that but couldn't quite get across. That early pressure opened it up for Lanista to drop in behind Bell's Beach House, who ended up digging through and holding the lead. And although visually they were going quickly enough, it was only a 29-second first quarter, so in MO grade that's pretty slow given the early burn. They obviously backed it right down through that second part of the first quarter. The second quarter was identical in 29 seconds, and then they started to work home that third and fourth quarter in again, pretty much identical times of 28.2 and 28.4. Bell's Beach House was always going to be hard to run down. Came to Victoria for Matty Craven, put in a bottler first time out, then everything went wrong last time. But back to his best, he was too good for them, held off Lanista, who tried hard from behind the leader with that soft run. Fire and Glow again, another one with a peg line run that made ground. And R.O.K. sort of loomed up at the top of the straight with gaps appearing as a potential winning chance. Probably just petered out that last 50 metres, but still ran a good race to only be beaten 4 metres from four pegs. And of the rest, I thought Virgil Hiltz, for what he is, did a pretty good job. Roll with it, was running on, but probably isn't quite the horse that we thought he was going to be. But in saying that, he'll pinch an MO somewhere when things go his way. Our Better Spirits was relatively fair, I thought, all things considered. But Bell's Beach House, a nice horse, and if you wanted to follow one from the race, maybe R. O'Keefe in similar grade.
We go to the three-year-old race, which is always going to be a great event on paper. It's interesting the way that the market ended up playing here, where from where markets first went up, there was massive support for Sha Tin. Tell Me Tales ended up drifting and got the money.
Yeah, I think we flagged this earlier in the week. They were too close together. I think Sha Tin, given what she'd been doing in Queensland, should have opened a bit shorter. And as you say, the money eventually came that way. They were the only two likely winners of the race, you would have thought, on paper. Look, most people probably expected Tell Me Tales to find the front early, but Mantha D, drawn inside, was keen enough to get to the pegs and then hold that margin. So it was grand final night for her. She doesn't have a Breeders' Crown or anything coming up, so that was her last run for the preparation, I believe, Mantha D. She held the lead. They went through a, you know, quick enough first quarter of 28.3. They were able to pinch a bit of a breather in 29.6 through that second quarter, but for punters who were on Sha Tin over the sprint trip, it was tears from early on. She just was caught out wide off the track, and things really never ever worked out for her. She probably did a good job to be beaten only 3 metres in the end, because she looked like the effort was going to tell off the back, but she did keep digging in and finding. She could never get near Tell Me Tales, who sat parked and was too strong for them. But her effort to run as close as she did, Sha Tin, was very good. Carlos Pixel's run a good race. Obviously, using that high speed, she again loomed up at one stage, but couldn't quite get to Tell Me Tales. But aside from that, the others just finished together, and they were all probably on paper a little bit below the top couple, and that's the way it panned out. But Tell Me Tales, the upset, I guess, given the way the race panned out, she probably had every right to win in the end.
We go to race four. This was the Blacks for Fake free-for-all, and we had two equal favourites here, and they ended up bookending the race in TCB McRae and Metro Mike, who had no luck.
Yeah, split between 50 metres between the two of them in the end, so the market was completely wrong there. I'm not sure about Metro Mike. He looked like he was getting back to his best. He led earlier this preparation. It might have been first up from break, so you forgive that effort where he tired. But this time, I don't think he had any excuses, Metro Mike. He led as expected. 28-8 first quarter, so it was a slower first quarter than Mantha D went in the previous race, a three-year-old fillies race. He got a 30.1 second quarter, again a slower second quarter than Mantha D went in the three-year-old fillies race. And then he just tried to wind it up from there, 28-6, but he was going a long way out. They swallowed him up pretty quickly. It is Billy Chief among those who were sitting parked. Three Ways was there, ready to pounce, and TCB McRae came off their backs, and he just produced a monster run. We all knew he was capable of it, but I suppose there was that little question mark over the sprint trip whether he was entirely suited, but in saying that, off the speed that was set, he was able to just pull out and use his turn of foot, and he ran past them. Again, another thing that's been questioned of him in the past, does he like to run past horses? Well, we saw it on the weekend. He's more than capable of doing it under the right circumstances, and he looked very impressive. Second up from a break, he can only get better. I think there's a Victoria Cup in the near future for him, given the change of date. That looks a nice race for him to really test himself against the best, but really good win from TCB McRae. It is Billy was good again. He's ready to win another similar free-for-all. Three Ways ran a really good race. He's definitely stepping up to this level now, and Kiang Steamer didn't have a lot of luck. He couldn't quite score up with them in the end, but he did run a good race into fourth. Outside of those, Flaming Flutter will no doubt improve, and Metro Mike just question where he's at, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the sub will do to try and get him back. There's obviously an issue there somewhere. Look, we go to race five, and this was taken out by the favourite and what was quite a narrow finish and a narrow win in Solar Sonic.
It was. It was probably the mid-race sustained pressure from Kima Frenning to be able to hold Major Dean, who whipped around really quickly and looked like almost getting across at one stage but couldn't do so. But that probably told the tale in the end, given how close it was. Solar Sonic led early doors from the widest draw, and I suppose, again, many people probably expected it. He was the fastest horse, I guess, aside from Card Murdered. He's absolute quickest on the front line, and he was able to use that speed to get across them pretty comfortably in the end. They went a 29-7 first quarter over the sprint trip, so again, they weren't breaking any records early. But given that mid-race pressure, he copped with a lap to go where Major Dan whipped around from the second row and definitely made him earn it through that second and third quarter, 29-3 and then 29-flat. And he drifted up the track a little bit, Solar Sonic. Nathan Jack on the second horse had a look at the film but didn't fire in a protest at the end because he pretty much held his line, Solar Sonic, and we all know how good he is at his best. He certainly had a few things to suit given the sprint trip and his early speed. He was going to always be hard to beat, but he did a really good job. He ran home in 27.6. He held off Major Dean, who's a really nice horse. We haven't seen him have to sit parked too often. Usually he draws the front and leads, but his effort to stick on as well as he did and only been beaten a half head was really good. Card Merger did as Card Merger can. He was behind the leader. He wasn't beaten too far. Yerrington Bob, similar story, just sort of poking up there, and he wasn't beaten far either. Aside from the rest, probably not a whole lot to take from the race. Hot as hell, he's going okay without being spectacular of recent times. Save Some Time to Dream didn't have a lot of luck. He's probably the one that you could follow going forward and expect him to finish a bit closer in a similar field if things went his way. But Solar Sonic just found the right race, I guess, and everything panned out, and he was too good for them.
We have a look at race six. This was the Group 3 Melton Cup final, and as most thought, Amaretto was too good. She's absolutely flying this mare at the moment.
She is, and given that she had to sustain some really quick sections through that middle stage of the final mile, she's done a magnificent job. She won a second quarter of 27.9. You don't see them often breaking 28 seconds for that second quarter over the middle distance, but she did so after a few horses wanted to come around and have a look at her. There were plenty that wanted to occupy the chair through the middle stages, but eventually Shadow Rain got there, but she was just too strong, wasn't she? She led, she kicked away through that third quarter when she went 27.9 again, and although she got tired late and animated with the right run, soft trip came through late and made a run at her, got within a couple of metres, but she was never going to lose. She drifted up the track. She was, as I say, getting a little bit tired, but after sustaining that pressure mid-race, it was a terrific win. In the Group 3 for Amaretto, good for her her breeding career as well to notch up a group race like that. Animated ran a really good race in second, as I outlined. Loving a Chevy again. It was a peg line dominated race in the end from three pegs. Ran a good race, albeit beaten 8 metres. And look, Idle Majority was an interesting one. He started second favourite. He was off the bit a long way from home, even sort of 800 metres out. He looked like he was being chased along to stay intact with the leaders back. He couldn't do so, and that just probably took the sting out of his legs to some degree. He's a horse that loves to use a really sharp final burst, but that was probably taken out of his armoury given that mid-race speed. So somewhat forgivable run from him. Outside of those, the rest, you know, I'm sure they'll all find their right race, but not a whole lot to take from the others.
Lightfoot Laurels was race number 7, and Cyclone Jetta was too good over the favourite Charming Lavra.
Yeah, she got a flyer at the start, didn't she, Cyclone Jetta? She was able to lead from the outside of the front row to standing start, and from there she was always going to be right in the mix. It was probably a race where there was three or four horses that all looked to have similar, you know, ability and winning chances, and she was the one that found A1 position in running. Mile rate of 203.8, so they weren't flying along by any stretch. 51.5 lead time, 32.1 first quarter, and then they just sort of went through the middle half of the final mile in similar sections before ripping home in a 27.8 final fraction. And as I said, she was always going to be hard to catch. Charming Lavra did a really good job. She sat behind the leader. She was the favourite, but she made good ground to only go down by a narrow margin. It's getting colder from three pegs. Probably did as much as she could. Maori Time was a good run, given she had to just work to tack on early off the handicap. She was chasing for a little bit to that early stage, but to finish within 5 metres was actually quite good, and there were some forgivable runs behind them. Glenferrie Burn, one of those, certainly can expect better from her going forward in a similar sort of race, given the early mistake, and she was only beaten 11 metres. But I guess the tell of the tape there was once she got that flying start, Cyclone Jetta, she was going to be hard to run down.
We go to race 8, and this was the 3-year-old trot, and it was won by Garshaway at a big price over the odds on favourite.
Yeah, it was the one outsider that got the coin, really, or mini outsider at $20. Garshaway, it was a terrific drive from Lee Sutton. Really good story. This Graham McDermott, of course, training the horse, he wouldn't have Lee Sutton drive for him a lot necessarily. Of course, Lee, a New South Wales driver, but Lee's, I think, friends with the owners. He's driven for them before, and they offered him the drive when he brought down his own horse for one of the later races, and he was able to ping the mobile, get a cross hand up to the favourite. He did everything right. It was a terrific drive, and then he just out-sprinted President Royden up the lane. He's only won by a small margin, but he's a really nice horse, Garshaway, and he's probably been underrated to some degree. He's always shown, probably from his first and second start, that he's going to measure right up to this three-year-old level, and to do what he did over a horse that's come here with a pretty big boom. He obviously is coming from New Zealand. He has form around the best of them, President Royden. You know, he'll be better for the run. He did lead, and they didn't go any special fractions in front. They went a 30.8 first quarter, 29.9 second, and then Garshaway was just too good on the way home. Nieta ran a good race. She was poking through late up the pegs. Carnera was there. I thought Chiron probably was better than it looked on paper as well, and that's the tale of the tape.
Of course, we've pretty much got to go now, Blake, but we'll have an extended review of that program out at Tabcorp Park Milton, of course, on Gate Speed tomorrow. Look, Scratch It won the 9th. Outer Baron AM was able to win race 10, and then we had More Shades of Gold in the final event. Thus said at Ballarat.